It's a holiday fantasy for a lot of people. Chugging along the waterways of Europe on a boat, savouring the scenery in Champagne. Graham Wood is living the fantasy. Graham's the New Zealander calling home from abroad today. He and his partner Claire own Serenity Barge, a converted cargo vessel, and between April and October each year they run cruises through France's Champagne region with 2,000 k's of canals to choose from in Burgundy and the Loire Valley, I think. If they want to, they can motor right into the heart of Paris or go all the way from Amsterdam to Budapest by boat. Graham Wood, hello.
Hello, how are you, Jim?
I'm very well. Where are you precisely this present moment?
Well, at the moment, we're 10 kilometres south of Rennes, which in English we say Reims, in a small village called Sillery. This is our home port.
Your home port. You're from Yep. Titahi Bay, north of Wellington, I understand.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I miss home quite a bit at the moment. It's all good.
And your partner, Claire, is from Canterbury, the other Canterbury.
Yes, the other Canterbury, the one in the old country, England. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Lots to ask you. What's attracted you to life in France, first of all?
Basically, me and Claire, since we're, you know, dual hemisphere partnership, my wife quite likes travelling, and being a Kiwi, we like to fly about as well. This is the fifth country we've lived in. She wanted a house that moves. And so we looked at boats, and after 6 years of Claire doing research, we ended up buying a hotel ship in France, because that's the biggest tourist country, basically. And there's a large canal network that's a linear village.
Hotel ships, that's what you call them?
Yeah, or hotel barges. I mean, we're a ship, technically. We're about 150 ton. So we're off the small ship's register into the actual normal ship's register.
All right. I presume one of those five countries was New Zealand with you and Claire together. So what did the two of you do while you were here?
We've done several things. We've had normal jobs, 9-to-5 jobs as well. We had a small business. She helped a small business in New Zealand as well, in Wellington, which was a landscaping supplies. I used to do IT work. I did contracting in London for about 5 years. I've been a barista in the past. I've done demolition. I've done a few different things. I was a roadie for a little bit. And my wife basically did marketing. That was her career before we became hoteliers on float.
Okay. So you've got an interesting set of skills, but being commander of or captain of a barge is something else again. So how did you get into that business? Claire wanted a home on the move, took 6 years, and how did you narrow it down to what you're doing now?
Basically, we were living in London, like a lot of Kiwis do, and one of the many trips to Europe, she saw these boats, and she wanted a boat, and I said, well, we can't speak any of the continental languages properly, so we can't get a normal job, and she took 3 years to find these hotel boats, and we've done hoteling before, and we've travelled a bit, so that's why she said, you know, what about these? And I said, okay, how much do they cost? Where are we going to get the money? We ironed all out those problems and basically thought, well, here we come, France. And we took the first course of many to learn to drive these boats or pilot these boats. An English couple teaching in France with a boat a bit smaller than this, they were retiring. So we got onto their last course ever. And after a few tears and, you know, screams and panics driving this 70-ton, 24-metre boat, we both passed the course. And we spent a week at the in-laws' place in Canterbury, and we said, okay, well, should we stop thinking about this, or should we have a go? After a week, we started 3 weeks in the Netherlands, 3 weeks in France, looking for ships, and about 6 months later, we bought the Serenity.
Bought the Serenity. Okay.
It's all go from there. Yeah.
It's fantastic. All right. I imagine it was a nervous maiden voyage and so on. So tell us about Serenity. And first of all, then I'll ask you about the skills required, but it's a converted cargo barge?
That's right, Jim. The boat was built in 1937 near Ghent, which is a large city in the middle of Belgium, in Flandria. So two of them were built at the same time. Both engines were destroyed. The owner destroyed it, so they weren't used in the war effort. And after the war, the owner was alive. Both boats were there. He bought an American tank, which had two engines in it, two six-cylinder engines, split them up and put the engine in it, and the boat travelled cargo-wise until just on 2000.
Gee.
And in 2002, an ex-naval dentist from Britain bought the boat and got it converted. 12 years later, we bought the boat, basically.
Tell us about the boat. There's tons of space on it, obviously. How's it decked out now as a hotel?
It's 39 metres long, 5 metres wide, We have five ensuite rooms, one we use ourselves, and we've got a small bunk bedroom right in the forepeak for crew, and we have three guest rooms. The guest rooms are roughly 16 square meters, I think they are, and one's slightly larger. And we have a 9 meter by 5 meter salon. You know, it's got a lounge and a big dining table. We're at the moment just upgrading the air conditioning. Boats are a work in progress. So we're still learning how to paint the steel, etc. At the moment, we've got a bit of a heat wave in France. We don't have guests until the 10th of July at the moment. We've just finished our first cruise, but we can't even paint at the moment because at 35 degrees, the steel and, you
Gee.
know, paint don't work. Yep. We've, you know, doing bits and pieces. Like over winter, we upgraded the generators and we're learning all about that. We had the engine retuned, still from the 40s. We've added a jacuzzi over time. We've changed the water system and we're, you know, doing all these bits and pieces, and it is a work in progress, but at the moment it's serving its purpose, and we're just it's you know just keep throwing stuff into it. I think it will be pretty much tip top shape in the next couple of weeks.
So you take guests on multi-night canal cruises, is that right?
That's correct. This year we're doing it. We've just finished a 7 night cruise with six Kiwis, and we've got a 3 night cruise later in September with a couple of girls from New Zealand as well. So we'll do whatever you like, especially since we're a new fledgling business. Three's about the minimum we can do though, because it gets, you know, you can't really do anything in 2 nights. Yeah, and we take people in, give them breakfast, give them a lunch on board. We do a couple of dinners on board, one barbecue night, one, you know, fine dining night, and then we take them to a number of different local restaurants. Because we think, you know, when you're cruising, you're coming to France, you don't want the same chef all night. So we take them to a whole bunch of, a range of different restaurants. And we also take them to, obviously, they make a bubbly grape juice in the region, you know, called champagne. And we take them to a range of different things around there.
How many hours a day do you typically spend on the water?
We try to spend between 3 and 5. It really depends on traffic. So you go through these locks where, you know, you change height. And if you get oncoming traffic, you might have to wait 20 or 30 minutes before the white lock cycles. The big boat comes through. And we are the biggest boat in the waters in this area. And you go through. And if you hit quite a few of those, it can delay. The last cruise, we actually came through in our quickest time ever. We calculated our last leg as being 7.5 hours, and we did it in 5. And it didn't feel like rushing. We're just getting kind of better at it. It's, you know, things, everything just went through perfectly. Locks opened, and we have about 2.5 centimeters either side of the lock to go in. So there's not much space. And Claire lined it up perfectly, and it just seemed to work. You know, it was quite good. We went through a 2.5 kilometer tunnel, and we did our best time through that at 31 minutes. You know, Claire knocked 4 minutes off it, which is, you know, quite impressive.
So Claire is in racing mode. How hard is it to drive a floating hotel?
Well, basically, we got told don't, and we thought, well, other people learn, so why can't we? There are moments of stress, and there are moments of not. We went up to the Netherlands for our certification. Every 5 years, you've got to certify the boat, like a warranty. We call it a WOF in New Zealand, warrant of fitness. So we had to do that for the boat. And going up to Belgium, that was quite exciting, to say the least. We went to a section of river in the Netherlands. There's three big lines you can see on the Google Maps. We went to the bottom one, which is about 2 kilometers wide, and it goes to the North Sea. And some of those waves were exciting in a flat-bottom boat. You can learn. Don't let anyone say you can't, because you can. And we prefer going with guests and somewhere we know before. That's just what we like. Just practice, practice.
Graham Wood, skipper of the hotel ship Serenity, on calling home this morning. So how is your French? How was your French when you moved to France and started a business? That's a daunting sounding aspect of things.
Appalling. It is fractionally better now. I took two French lessons at Wellington Polytech before I came over, and that didn't go well. And my wife took about 7 or 8 lessons, which she did much better. She's doing more. I'm talking. So we spent, as I said, we went up to the Netherlands and Belgium for the winter, basically. I came back with more pidgin French, but all the local, it was like coming back home. We came back home and we saw one of the local chaps, doesn't speak a word of English. We see him twice a day. He goes to the bakery twice a day to buy a baguette, some sausage, and he walks back. He's one of the local farmers in the region. But, you know, bonjour, how are you? And, you know, we're talking, we're up in Belgium for winter, which I know some of the words for that. I'm more pidgin now, but he understood me. And because he understood me, he just burst out in fluent French, which I can understand about 30-35% at the moment of what people say. So we get the gist of things, and because people, you know, you nod and smile and you understand most of it, they just keep going, and it's great that you try.
You're enjoying it, both of you.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm not saying there's not moments of doubt, because we all strike that in any life that we choose, but we are enjoying it. On the whole, I would say we're 70% happy, and it's increasing each year. It's going well.
Okay, and it sounds like it's becoming viable too. So all that's
yes.
Good. And you're a long way from the politics of Paris, but of course you will have heard about the Yellow Jackets and Brexit and all the issues, immigration. Do the locals still think it's La Belle France out there in the French countryside, or do you sense that the country's changing, even though you seem to be firmly ensconced in a traditional part of France that goes back centuries and centuries? What is the, if you had to read the mood of the land, what would you tell me?
Well, there's definitely unhappiness with the way life is. Life is at the expense of here, Britain. As far as I know, look, it's been 5 years since I've been home. People aren't happy with just the way things are working. And the government is trying to change it, but everybody argues about the way to change it and the rate to change it. We've got friends that are very left. We've got other friends that are quite right. This region is actually quite a right leaning region. I believe it was one of the ones that had more Yellow Jackets than others. There was a big riot a few weeks ago in Rennes, which, you know, shops got damaged. I don't fully understand why people do that aspect of, you know, I mean, protest, yes, but you're smashing other local businesses, you know, your family, your friends, which, you know, community is quite tight. There's some sort of odd mentality there I don't quite understand. I'm trying to think it through, but I just don't. And I've not met anyone that says they support the Yellow Jack movement, even though they do exist. I've got quite a few friends in Paris, obviously. Well, not obviously, but I do. And they don't support it, and they don't know anyone that does. But apparently it is everywhere. So I don't understand. Brexit's another issue. People for various other issues want to leave, and they don't want to leave. There is the Frexit issue as well. If Britain does leave, which I'm personally hoping they don't, which is looking very unlikely, France may or may not move out as well. It all depends on how badly or well it goes for Britain, basically.
I know there's Frexit and Brexit and Grexit. It is a very interesting life you lead. Can I ask you and Claire, I mean, for convenience, we're just talking to you, but can I ask you the greatest pleasure of running a hotel ship? You know, when things are going well of a day, what is so great about it?
Well, I mean, when you're moving, you've got your guests that are actually quite happy, and you're going through, and it's actually just nice to be tootling along down one of the rivers or one of the canals, and you've got the grapes on the side, the weather's nice, there's a nice light breeze. We prefer a light breeze than a strong one because of the ship. It's just quite calm and tranquil. It's just everything runs smoothly, which is most of the time. In fact, I think everything runs smoothly to that last cruise. It was wonderful. The last two locks, the breeze pumped up, so Claire bumped a little bit, but that was the last two of about 30 of them, so everybody is happy. It's just, you know, or sitting up on the deck in the evening, you know, you've got, because the sun goes down quite late. At the moment, it's about 10 o'clock and it's still light, which is quite nice. And the air calms down in the evening. You're sitting up on the deck with a drink of wine or champagne. And we've got the hot tub where we quite often jump in if we can. And it's just quiet and calm. It's, you know, there's a lot of nature and wildlife here, despite all the farming around. It's, it is quite calm. And you've got your own house.
Yeah.
So you're taking your house to where you want to go.
You are a great tour guide. Great talking to you. We won't see you for a while. That's a shame. But thank you. We wish you and Claire all the very best with this business. And it is a great adventure for a couple, but you've managed to plough your way through it so far. You must be very pleased.
We're pleased. It's still a long road ahead. We've still got, but it's we're basically two steps forward, one step back is the thing. But if we keep moving forward, plodding along, I think we're looking quite good. I would like to say hello to the family back in Tudor Bay and around the country. You know, really great to hear from you. And thank you very much, Jim. I'm very much pleased for this opportunity.
Graham, it's a real pleasure. Send over a few crates of champagne and we'll be even.
What do you like?
I'm joking. No, I'm just joking.
Okay.
but it is such an exotic area you're in, and what a fabulous life. From the sound of it, anyway, a lot of people will think it is.
Come and visit either B&B or cruising. Just yeah, it would be great. We'll treat you like family.
Lovely.
We're not white tie, black collar type people. You know, we're pretty much normal, casual Kiwis.
And from the sound of it, it'll stay that way too. Very good. Thank you, Graham. Pleasure having this conversation.
Okay, tra.
It's coincidental, by the way, that Graham's and Claire's boat, Serenity, was the answer to our great pile of books question last week. It's the most popular name in the English-speaking world for sailing boats.